The Sports Company with Sean Fox has been presented by Bud Light. Join the team every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. for The Sports Company on 97.7.
This is the famous Bud Light beer. It's not easy to brew beer this easy to drink. It takes time. Bud Light is brewed for a long time to go down smoother, because we all know round two is when the real stories come out. Bud Light. We don't just brew beer. We brew beer for friends. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Hi, I'm Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. Louisiana is more than just a place to visit. It's our way of life, and that means being outdoors. Join the nearly 2 million people who camped, biked, paddled, and hiked our state parks last year, as we invite you to do the same. Every corner of Louisiana has something to offer, from the world-class fishing at Toledo Bend to paddling at Fontainebleau to exploring the ancient mounds at Poverty Point World Heritage Site. So fill up your car and staycation right here in our home, Louisiana.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed & Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubok Rustin Monroe, 97.7.
It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show is also brought to you by O'Neill Gas, Brister's Smokehouse, Brennan Dodd, Dairy Queen, Ideal Portable Buildings, and Scott Seafood. Text us on the Fairway Carts text line at 888-993-7762. Here's your host, Ben Carlisle.
Welcome in to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm your host, Ben Carlisle, joined once again by my co-host, Sutton Davison, who is back after a one-week hiatus. It's nice to have Sutton back in studio. While you were gone, Sutton, I don't know if you heard, the Bulldogs are headed to Frisco to take on SMU in the inaugural Frisco Bowl.
I did hear that. It's good for the Bulldogs. Happy for them to get into a bowl game and one that's close proximity for these fans to be able to travel. And against a quality opponent like SMU, which the storyline has gotten crazy. I know we'll get into that. But SMU, Louisiana Tech, just a couple hours down I-20, should be a good one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And just to kick things, you know, right out of the gate, coming up here in a couple of minutes, Adam Grossbard, SMU beat writer for the Dallas Morning News, is going to join us. What a week, what a couple of weeks it's been in Dallas, especially for someone like him covering SMU. Chad Morris leaves a week ago, right before we go on the air, to head to Arkansas. Sonny Dykes, former Louisiana Tech head coach, named the new head man at SMU. This game has just intriguing storyline after intriguing storyline heading into it.
Yeah, it does. I think you said it, you know, we've got a crazy game coming up. Sonny Dykes, former Louisiana Tech head coach, now coaching at SMU, and will coach in the bowl game, which is something that I've never seen before. A guy gets hired after the season, before the bowl game, and says, I'm going to go coach in the bowl game, and I'm going to hire my whole staff, and we're going to do it the way we're always going to do it from here going out. So this is something that should be really interesting. I know we'll talk about it later.
Yeah, well, let's go ahead and get straight to it. We're joined on the Fairway Carts hotline by Adam Grossbard of the Dallas Morning News. How you doing tonight, Adam?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. We were just talking about it. Former Louisiana Tech head coach Sonny Dykes named the new head man of the SMU Mustangs. Chad Morris leaves the program a week ago, right before we're going on the air. I have to imagine it's been a crazy week for not only you, but SMU fans everywhere. Just talk about the whirlwind of a week that it's been for you guys over there.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, fortunately for my heart pressure, it was nothing like what happened over in Tennessee. But they moved very quickly. There are two big reasons for that, is because they had the bowl game coming up and they didn't want the coaching search to hang over that. But I think the main reason that everyone's moving pretty quickly on coaching searches is that early signing period. So they really wanted to have a head coach in recruiting before, you know, and make sure that the class stayed together before they had to make, you know, their big life decisions next Wednesday. So it's been pretty wild. You know, luckily it wasn't, you know, five offers go out and finally someone accepts, but it's definitely been not a lot of sleep for many people around the program.
Yeah, Adam, talk about the elephant in the room. Obviously, the Sonny Dykes storyline is interesting. Here's one who just got his first head coaching job not that long ago at Louisiana Tech and is now across the sideline at SMU in just a little bit over a week's time against his old team. Are fans in Dallas excited about Coach Dykes, and what do they expect him to bring to the sideline just a week after receiving the job?
Well, it's kind of funny because I think there were a lot of people who weren't totally sold on the hire when he was announced. There was a lot of support internally and in the fan base for interim head coach Jeff Traylor. And then when Traylor decided to leave and not coach the team in the bowl game, I think you saw Sonny Dykes get a big wave of support from the fan base for stepping in. And, you know, basically he gets to play hero this week coaching the game. And I got to say, I love the storyline, as I'm sure you guys do. It's really interesting that he's going up against his first head coaching job in a bowl game in his first game at SMU. It kind of writes itself and gives us a lot to talk about today. And they asked him about it today at his introductory media session, and he said it's pretty special. He said he knows a lot of people on, you know, in the Louisiana Tech offices and knows a bunch of people over there. And But he made clear once it's game time, everyone's mortal enemies at that point.
Absolutely, and I think it brings one of the more intriguing storylines that, you know, maybe we'll see all of bowl season. And just looking at this matchup between Louisiana Tech and SMU, the Mustangs bring to the table a high-powered offense. What Chad Morris did in year three with his program was pretty phenomenal from an offensive standpoint. Just talk about the play of Ben Hicks at quarterback along with his wide receiver weapons, Trey Quinn, a Louisiana native from Barb High School, and then a potential first-round pick in Cortland Sutton. Those two have put together two outstanding seasons.
Yeah, they have, and it's really been – a lot of it has been the progression of Hicks at quarterback. He had his struggles with accuracy from time to time throughout the season, but he really turned into a very good game manager. He was never a perfect fit in Chad Morris's system because he wasn't a dual threat guy, but he got a lot better this year at A, avoiding pressure, and then B, learning when to run when he had to. He's never going to like beat you with pure speed, but he's savvy enough to know when to leave the pocket and either pick up a few yards or pick up a first down. And that was something you saw him progress on as this season went on. He's going to be willing to take a few risks, especially with sudden downfield, but when it gets into third down situations, his favorite thing to do is to throw to Trey Quinn underneath, who has become a very, very reliable option in those kind of situations. So they've got a lot of options. James Prochet is a great third receiver. He's very speedy and has the ability to really break plays out, but you know, Cortland Sutton's a star. He can do a lot of different things. He can beat you with his muscle, he can beat you with his speed. He's been a lot of fun to watch these last 3 years at SMU.
Yeah, staying with Ben Hicks and Coach Sonny Dykes and how they relate, I heard Coach Dykes say in his press conference today that Ben Hicks may be the first player coach in college football history, and you know, obviously that's in some jest, but Sonny Dykes basically said, hey, Ben Hicks is going to teach me this offense in about a week, and we're going to go out and run it next week against Louisiana Tech. What do you think that looks like, and is Ben Hicks up for the task of essentially teaching his new head coach how they run that offense, all the terminology, in what is probably one of the greatest role reversals we'll see in a long time?
Yeah, it is really interesting. It's going to set up a very interesting dynamic between them moving forward because Ben gets to start out as the teacher, and then Sonny becomes the teacher once they actually start to implement the air raid in January. But it's going to be, I think Ben is up for the challenge. He's a very smart guy. He's very accountable. He watches a ton of film. I remember offensive coordinator Joe Craddock talking earlier in the season where he came into the office to start preparation for the Navy defense, and Ben Hicks had already watched film of Navy's previous game before Craddock had. So So he's really a good student of the game. He spent 3 years in this system and knows it very, very well. There were a couple of guys on the depth chart who challenged Ben during fall camp because they fit more into Morris's mold of the dual threat quarterback, but neither one knew the system as well as Hicks, and whenever they tried to play, they just weren't able to execute the offense the same way that Hicks was. So I think Hicks is definitely up for the challenge, but it is going to be a very interesting dynamic, especially because a lot of the offensive coaches are already gone to Arkansas.
Yeah, and, you know, you just took the last question, you know, right out of my mouth. When you talk about a lot of the offensive coaches moving up north to Fayetteville along with Chad Morris, what kind of dynamic does that bring into this game? I know Sonny mentioned in his press conference today that he'll be looking to hire his assistants pretty quick and potentially have them coaching as well. Just what kind of dynamic does that bring to the game when you look at, you know, new coaches versus players that have been there for a while and neither of which know each other very well?
Well, I think it's really good for the players because they get a chance to know the head coach before they go into winter break. You know, they get 8 days of practice to get accustomed to what it is that he likes and his style, and really just to get to know each other on a first-name basis. That's really the most important part. But they get a chance, you know, basically an extended meet-and-greet, so they're not going into winter break wondering, you know, who is the head coach, if I'm going to get along with him, if I'm going to, you know, like the way he does things. There's not going to be as much unknown, which is definitely a benefit. And you know, it sounds like they had a very good, positive first meeting last night. Sonny was honest about, you know, it's emotional whenever a head coach leaves a program, all these kids who committed to that head coach. But it seems like everyone's getting behind Dykes, and I think if he can make an ally out of Ben Hicks, then he's going to win over the locker room pretty quickly.
Yeah, Adam, before we let you go, one more quick question. Obviously, an intriguing matchup next Wednesday night in Frisco. Both fan bases will obviously be able to travel well, obviously close by SMU's campus, and then not far trip down I-20 for Louisiana Tech fans. We're expecting a great turnout. I know Louisiana Tech has said they've sold over 75% of their allotment, but what we want to know is, you being close to the program there, us here, what's your prediction for next Wednesday night? How do these teams match up against each other on the field, storylines aside, and what's your score prediction for the first ever DXL Frisco Bowl?
I think it's going to be a close one. I think SMU is going to, you know, maybe be a little out of it to start the game, and Louisiana Tech's got some weapons on offense, but I think in the end, SMU, they've just got such a high-powered offense, and, you know, if Ben Hicks does his job, and Cortland Sutton's going to be looking to put on a show, though he's got some pretty good defensive backs he has to go up against there from the Bulldogs, but I'd say SMU wins, but Louisiana Tech covers the spread.
Absolutely, Adam. Well, we thank you for joining us on Bleed Tech Blue Radio tonight. How can our listeners follow you online?
I'm on Twitter, at Adam Grossbard, A-D-A-M-G-R-O-S-B-A-R-D. Yeah, that's the way, but thanks for having me on, guys.
Appreciate it, man. Absolutely. Looking forward to a fun one next Wednesday night in Frisco.
Get some sleep.
appreciate it.
I think Adam makes a great point. You know, it's going to be an SMU team that might be out of that game early on. You know, it's going to be an adjustment period, like it or not. Ben Hicks can teach the offense all he wants to Sonny Dykes. SMU struggles in a big way on defense. I personally think if Tech comes out with a quick start, they have an opportunity to really get SMU on their heels.
Well, and it's one thing, and this is one of the earliest bowl games. I mean, it's one thing if you're in a December 26th, 27th bowl game, you get that extra week to at least just have some more of an incubation period to kind of get used to a new
incubation.
Coach. Incubation. You like that?
Yeah.
Just to get used to a new coach and a new staff and the idea of, hey, I'm about to run out of this tunnel and probably not even know the last name of my offensive coordinator.
Oh, absolutely.
That's got to be different for a kid. And for Ben Hicks to be able to take over and teach his new coach the offense.
He's going to have to lead.
He's going to have to be. Yeah, absolutely. And if that's been a problem for him at all this year, it's going to have to right that ship immediately if he's going to have a chance. I think Louisiana Tech has a chance in this game, but obviously we all know the woes that this offense has gone through this season, so this is not an SMU offense that is easy to play from behind against, and if they get out to a quick start against Tech, it could be over quick.
Absolutely. So we're going to take our first quick time out. After the break, we'll be joined by Sean Johnson, who is the executive director of the inaugural Frisco Bowl this week. And we'll get to catch up with him and really see his thoughts on the matchup between two regional teams that should provide a great game. So we'll be back right after the break. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
Our model year end closeout is going strong. This is Steve Brennan with Brennan Dodge, and our big finish to 2017 is full of huge savings. You'll save 25% off MSRP on remaining 17 Ram 1500 Crew Bighorns. That's a savings of over $11,700. Save 25% off MSRP on remaining 17 Ram Crew Laramie 4x4s. That's a savings of over $13,600. The last of the 17s are moving quick, so hurry into the big finish of 2017 at Brennan Dodge in Ruston.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
For years, serious hunters around here have gotten close to that big buck on a Bad Boy Buggy from Fairway Carts in Minden. Well, Bad Boy Buggy has a new name, Textron Off-Road, still committed to providing the same power, range, and stealth you demand. Textron Off-Road side-by-sides are whisper quiet, have plenty of distance for wherever you hunt, excellent steering, and deliver a great ride. Hey, you just need to come test ride one to see for yourself. And you can count on Fairway Carts to have the selection you want and always make you a great deal. 2018 models are rolling in, so remaining 17s are priced to move with big rebates and low interest financing with approved credit. Talk with Larry about a sweet Fairway Carts deal on the one you want most and find out how much you'll save. All the reasons you want a Bad Boy Buggy now wrapped up in a new name, Textron Off-Road. Trailer yours home from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 800-960-CART or go to fairwaycarts.net.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio right here on Sports Talk 97.7. We're joined now on the Fairway Carts hotline by DXL Frisco Bowl Executive Director Sean Johnson. How you doing tonight, Mr. Johnson?
I'm doing great. Ben and Sutton, how y'all doing tonight?
We're doing well. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Hey, first year, obviously, of the DXL Frisco Bowl, the inaugural game of this new franchise in bowl season. What excites you most about this matchup you have on your hands between Southern Miss and Louisiana Tech? Excuse me. Yeah, and what can fans look forward to on December 20th?
Well, I think the nice thing about it is with Southern Methodist coming in, we've got a local team, so I think that's going to bring a lot of energy to the table from the local fans. From a Louisiana Tech perspective, I know they've sold through their initial ticket allotment, so I know the Tech Nation is coming out in force. I think it's a great kind of regional matchup. The teams were part of the WAC several years back, so they played each other before. They've had a little commonality now with some recent head coaches and an announcement that SMU made today with Sonny Dykes heading over there to be their head coach. So I think that brings a little bit of excitement to the table as well. And I think just the first year around for this bowl game, ticket sales are going great. Like I said, it looks like Louisiana Tech is going to bring a great crowd to us, which we're very excited about. And I think it's, as I look at it, you know, our colors for the bowl are red and blue. Louisiana Tech's colors are red and blue, and so are SMU's. So it's almost a perfect, you know, kind of marriage of everything coming together for a great game. And I think as you get to bowl week, the teams are going to have some real exciting things going on during the week. We've got a variety of things for them to do, from a welcoming dinner the first night they're there with some gifts that they'll be able to get. You're going to see a big new movie that's coming out this weekend that a lot of people are probably aware of called Star Wars. As a team, we've got a real special opportunity for them to come out and see the Dallas Cowboys' new headquarters facility and be able to practice there, which I think is one of the best things about our game this year. It'll be a fun practice, and then they get to go on a tour of the facilities as well. So a lot of fun things getting ready to happen this next week.
Yeah, and Sean, you know, like you mentioned, there's a lot of fun stuff going on. There's plenty of intriguing storylines in this game. You mentioned a little bit earlier about Sonny Dykes being the new head coach at SMU. And one thing that Sutton and I are most excited about is getting over to Frisco and getting to experience Toyota Stadium. I know it's not, you know, maybe your traditional football stadium, but we've seen it a couple of times on TV hosting the FCS National Championship. Talk a little bit about the venue that the game will be played in, and I know it's a beautiful stadium.
It is a great stadium. It's about 10 years old. It was built by the Hunt family. Everybody probably knows Lamar Hunt. He was really the visionary who decided to build this stadium up in far north of Dallas and try and set up a new kind of soccer mecca up there with, you know, FC Dallas. And, you know, what has really happened is they wanted to make it a multi-purpose stadium. Lamar Hunt was a longtime fan of college football, played at SMU. He went to, I think, over 50 straight Cotton Bowl games here. Of course, he was the owner of the original Dallas Texans, which moved to Kansas City and became the Kansas City Chiefs. And he's, you know, built a long-time legacy in the sports world, and his sons are continuing to carry that on. And it was really one of his wishes that his sons were able to bring, you know, college football to his stadium. And they got the FCS championship game, and now after 7 or 8 years, that is now bringing sold-out crowds to the stadium every year. And we're hoping to have the same for our game next week. We're doing really well, like I said, on the ticket sales. And it's a great venue because it's really one level. We don't have multiple levels. All of our seats this year are pretty much on the sidelines. In one end zone right now, we've got construction going on because they're building the new National U.S. Soccer Hall of Fame in that end zone. But as part of that building, as we kind of go through this process ourselves, we're building two new 100-person player locker rooms down in that end zone area underneath the soccer complex. So we'll be even more structured for football moving forward for all the future Frisco Bowls. And I think as fans will come in, they're going to get a great vision of just a fun college football atmosphere, just like they've experienced with the FCS. Everybody's on the same level. There's not a bad seat in the house. And it's set up to be a great fun time. I just encourage everybody that's coming to get in your seats early. We've got a special patriotic kind of start to the game with our national anthem. So it's even more red, white, and blue going on in the stadium than we'll already have with both teams in those colors. So it's going to be spectacular, and I think people are really going to have a great time when they come out here.
Yeah, it really does sound like an incredible place to see a game. I know Louisiana Tech and SMU both play in those similar size stadiums, so it'll feel like both of those fan bases are right at home. Sean, we talked about it being a regional matchup. Obviously, Louisiana Tech is just a short drive down I-20 away, and Southern Methodist, being a regional team. Tell us about SMU's following in the DFW area. Obviously, it's a huge metroplex with another major college football program in TCU not too far away. What's this fan base like, and are they excited about the Frisco Bowl being close by? And are they excited about coming out to the game and having that be something that's so accessible to them?
From what I've seen and from what I've talked to, because I know a lot of SMU graduates and I know some former players, they're looking at this as a great opportunity to come out and support their team, because the last couple times they played in bowl games, they've been in the Hawaii Bowl. So not everybody can just hop on a plane and get over to Hawaii to watch your favorite college football team play. So SMU's really looking at this as an opportunity to keep building the momentum in their program. Let's get a nice crowd out there, and we're almost sold out of tickets on their side of the stadium right now. So we're moving really fast through those. We think we'll be done here in the next day or so, hopefully on that side of the stadium. So we're very excited to kind of have them in that place. their fan base continues to buy other tickets as well. They actually moved through their entire allotment and asked for additional ones, just as Louisiana Tech had. So I see us getting a great draw from SMU. Need them to keep buying tickets, of course, because they're local and they've got a huge local alumni base. So we're looking at them, you know, supporting the players. And I know they're in a bit of a transition, but they know at the end of the day, it's those players on the field that really count, that need their support. So we want all them to be out there as well, just like La Tech's going to be cheering on their players.
Absolutely, Sean. We thank you for joining us on Bleed Tech Blue Radio tonight. How can Louisiana Tech fans continue to buy tickets as the game is just 8 days away?
Well, the easiest way is just to go to our official website, which is www.dxlfriscobowl.com. Put that in your search engine. It should pop up, or you'll have to scroll down a little bit of it. And you can go right into our system, pop on tickets, and it'll pop right up for you. If people don't like going that avenue, then they want to call 855-492-8053. Tell the group you want to buy Frisco Bowl tickets, and they should be able to take care on that. I think the only other thing I'd tell them is, as you get people who do buy the tickets and are coming out here for game day and are listening to the radio tonight, we have a $20 parking fee. So when they get to the stadium, there will be attendants out there taking that. So bring a little bit of cash with you. They won't have credit card machines, but just be prepared for that. Hopefully it'll just be a 3.5 or 4 hour drive over. I would expect most of the people to probably drive over the day of, which is nice to have that regional matchup, as you suggested. And makes it, hopefully not the easiest drive in the world, but not too tough a one either. And at the end of the road, at least you got a great team to come out and root for.
Absolutely. Sean, thanks so much. Sean Johnson, Executive Director of the Frisco Bowl. We're really excited to get over there and support what should be an amazing game next week. Thanks for all you've done to make this possible, and we're looking forward to a good one.
Appreciate it. We're looking forward to having you guys out in force and just having a spectacular game. I think it's going to be an extremely competitive game. And wish everybody that's driving over, just be safe, take your time, get here safe and sound, and we'll get you here and get taken care of when you get to the stadium.
Awesome. Sean Johnson, great stuff from Sean. Really looking forward to that game. Really encouraging to hear that looks like it might be able to see a sellout over there in Frisco.
Yeah, and I think if that game is sold out, I've had the opportunity to, not watch complete games of the FCS National Championship, but that is a spectacular venue, and it's just a fun place to watch a football game from what I can tell. And if you get, I'm not sure how much the stadium's capacity holds, but, if you get 20, 22,000 fans in there, two loyal fan bases, SMU's on the up and up. I think Sonny Dykes is beginning to bring some excitement to that area for SMU. And then what Skip Holtz has done at Louisiana Tech over the last 5 years has really got the Tech fan base really expecting a bowl game every year. So like Sean mentioned, it should be an extremely competitive matchup. And if you add in a large crowd, it has all the makings of a barn burner.
Well, and let's just be honest. I mean, neither of these teams are teams that are used to seeing, completely full stadiums.
Over 50, 60,000 people.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I just don't think that you can underestimate enough how much it means to a college football player who's played to small crowds for a whole year to come out and see a full stadium, no matter how big it is.
Well, I think you make a great point. It's easy to say, that bowl game attendance is horrible and this and that and the other, but when you look at a stadium like this, so what if it holds 20,000 people if it's packed?
You don't see the second deck on TV anyway.
Exactly.
I think it's going to be huge for at least for both of these programs, especially Louisiana Tech, for people to flip over to ESPN, see SMU, Louisiana Tech, and see a full stadium and think, man, those are some quality fan bases. And for you never know what high school recruits are sitting in their living room.
And nobody on TV knows how much the stadium holds.
Right.
Outside of the two fan bases, really outside of the people that are there.
What would you rather? A full, soccer stadium? I mean, ask the LA Chargers about that. Or empty Qualcomm Stadium or some venue, Legion Field or some massive venue with no one there.
That's a great point that you bring up. I would much rather see full stadiums, whether it's 20, 22,000, 30,000 for bowl games than these huge, massive triple deck stadiums with 15,000 people there. We saw Tech in the Poinsettia Bowl
right.
in 2011. That was an empty stadium.
60,000 seat stadium, and there was probably 6,000 there.
Exactly. It
That's
looks,
not fun.
No, and you can say that, you know, it's the same amount of people regardless, but there's something to be said about looking good on TV and having players feel the energy. And like Sean mentioned, there's single decks. The fans are right on the sideline, and it's going to be loud inside of there.
Oh, absolutely. It should be an amazing environment. It's encouraging to hear that tickets are selling well. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk more bowl game ticket sales, some recruiting information that has just come up this week that looks like Louisiana Tech is just putting together a spectacular
class. How about this?
Class.
Let's talk some Dunkin' Dog basketball. Yeah, Dunkin' Dogs are getting set to tip off against ULL any minute
now. Yeah, we'll do that right when we get back. So stay with us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
Wobo Tire Service has been a proud Tech sponsor for over 60 years. When Tech hits the court, it's game on. This weekend, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the knowledgeable staff at Wobo Tire get you safely to and from the game. With brake repair, alignment, computer diagnostic, plus all your major brands of tires, including Michelin and BF Goodrich. Wobo Tire Service Superstore, a name you can trust. Ruston, West Monroe, or visit WoboTire.com.
The Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show is brought to you in part by O'Neill Gas. O'Neill Gas offers propane delivery to homes and businesses throughout North Louisiana. For more information, go to O'NeillGas.com.
You cheer for your team. You root for your team. You live for your team. You're a Louisiana Tech fan. You're Louisiana Tech Dairy Queen restaurants in Monroe, West Monroe, Ruston, Bossier City, and Shreveport invite you to try our fan food favorites. Locally owned and operated by Louisiana Tech alumni, Dairy Queen is proud of all Louisiana Tech athletes. Come by one of our locations and support the businesses who support Louisiana Tech. Dairy Queen. Fan food. Not fast food.
Yep, it's hunting season, and you think it's too late to get that new deer stand. Hey, at Ideal Portable Buildings and Trailer Sales, it's never too late. Get a custom-built box stand from Ideal, exactly like you want it, and get a real good price on it, too. Plus, Ideal has the right utility trailer for any hauling you need to do. Haul it, cover it, or store it. Ideal Portable Buildings and Trailer Sales. 699-9426. 699-9426.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, is back on the radio. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back in to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. One heck of a start to tonight's show, Sutton. I know we got tons and tons of things to talk about, and we'd love for you to join us, whether it's on the Fairway Cards hotline or the Fairway Cards text line. You can join us. You can be a part of us. 1-888-993-7762. Let's take a moment to take a break from talking about Louisiana Tech's bowl matchup with SMU. You have me almost saying Southern Miss.
I can't help it. I don't know why I keep saying
Southern Miss. Like it's a Conference USA matchup on a neutral field. But Dunkin' Dogs in action tonight inside the Thomas Assembly Center. Tipping off right now, taking on the Raging Cajuns of Lafayette, a Raging Cajun squad that's averaging 90.1 points per game. Should be an exciting matchup inside the Thomas Assembly Center.
Yeah, both these teams sitting at 7-2, both sitting atop their respective conferences, both plenty of playmakers. And this is just a rivalry through and through that I know both teams fans get really excited about it, and I know the Thomas Assembly Center is rocking.
Oh yeah, and you know, you and I are going to get over to that game and try to catch the second half when we go off the air tonight. It's a Raging Cajuns team that's won 13 consecutive matchups with in-state opponents. Their last loss was back in 2015 when they dropped a decision to Tech in the Thomas Assembly Center. But last year, when you look at Tech going down to the Cajun Dome, Lafayette really took it to the Bulldogs. So Tech's out for a little bit of revenge tonight, and I'm excited to see the product on both sides of the floor.
Yeah, and you mentioned ULL team that scores 91 points a game. This is a Tech team that averages 86. So
oh, yeah, it's going to be exciting.
It's not like, you know, Louisiana Tech can't score points as well. They've stumbled a little lately, but what the difference is Louisiana Tech has had a couple of really close game losses to some really quality opponents. Alabama in Tuscaloosa, ranked at the time, lose by three, which was, a ridiculous effort, amazing. And then Stephen F. Austin comes to the tack, and that's a perennial tournament team that just looked really, really good. Dropped by two there.
Yeah, that was a tough loss for Tech. I really thought Tech showed some of its youth last week when they did drop the decision Wednesday night against Stephen F. Austin. That's a Stephen F. Austin that's battle-tested, like you mentioned. They go to the NCAA tournament with some regularity here recently, especially. And Tech really struggled to slow them down coming into that game. Stephen F. Austin's, they really played, high-quality defense and forced their opponents to turn the ball over. And they turned Tech over 17 times. I think they converted into 25 points. And when you do that, you end up losing a tight one, and that's just what Tech did when Stephen F. Austin scored a bucket with 4.5 seconds to go.
Yeah, this Louisiana Lafayette team is not one to be taken lightly, like we said. Forward Jakinen Grant.
He can score.
Oh, man, he's a flat-out scorer down low, averaging 16 a game for a forward. That's pretty strong in today's college basketball. And then Frank Bartley IV averaging 16, and Jonathan Stove averaging another 16 as well. So they've got some guys who can score, and we don't have such a bad big three in Ruston as well.
Yeah, and when you look at, this ULL roster that Bob Marlin's put together in his eighth season at Lafayette, a USC transfer in the starting lineup, a BYU transfer in the starting lineup, a Missouri transfer in the starting lineup, and a South Carolina transfer in the starting lineup. That's four Power Five schools, or whatever you want to call them, high-quality college basketball. And, Marlin's done a great job of getting those guys to come together and play some high-quality basketball early in the year. And I think Aaron and Jake had ULL guy on this morning to talk about the matchup, and he talked about the versatility up and down the ULL roster. Everybody can play the point guard spot, and when you look at a guy like Janiah White inside for Tech, that can sometimes cause some matchup problems on the perimeter, and I'm sure the Raging Cajuns will look to exploit those tonight.
Yeah, it should be a good matchup all around. Louisiana Tech's a team that has taken their lumps a little lately. I know Daquan Bracey, who is a star, a budding star.
He is a star.
He's had a little bit of trouble on the turnover, front a little lately.
Had some really bad turnovers late against Alabama, and I thought really against Stephen F. Austin, he played so many minutes, and I think he really ran out of gas. But, I'm not ready to call it a sophomore slump. He's scoring 14 a game. He's improved his three-point shooting to 42% from three. But, yeah, he needs to limit the turnovers and really get things back under control.
Yeah, and I think he will. Tonight's starting lineup, pretty similar to what they've run out all year. You got Daquan Bracey starting at point guard, Jalen Harris and Jacoby Boykins, obviously the other two guards there. And that's a backcourt that rivals anybody in the country.
Oh, absolutely.
When they're playing their best basketball. And then Jalen Washington and Janiah White down low to even things out in the paint. That's a solid starting five. And I think, this is a Louisiana Tech team that's going to go through some adversity, and we've seen that already. But playing close games against quality opponents, I'm not a moral victory guy, but I can live with that. I can put my head on the pillow at night and sleep well knowing that you drop a game by two to a quality Stephen F. Austin team, one that's played in the NCAA tournament and won in the last couple of seasons, and then also Alabama, a ranked opponent from the SEC that is playing at home. You lose by three there. Those are good losses. In college basketball is a sport that where good losses matter.
Yeah, and I'm interested to see how Coach Conkle really navigates this squad. It's such a young team with only one senior in Jacoby Boykins, and I've been really impressed, particularly in the Stephen F. Austin game, with the play of Anthony DeRuggi and Jacoby Pemberton. I think those two guys have the opportunity to earn some more minutes going forward. And, Jalen Washington's a great role player, but it'll be interesting to see if he continues to start knowing that those two freshmen are coming on so strong.
Yeah, and I think you nailed it. This is a team that we've yet to see what they can truly be. I think it's a potential-driven team, but one that has played really well to start the season. And ultimately, you and I know what matters most is in Frisco, Texas, in in late February.
Oh, yeah, and it all boils down to winning three games in 3 days in Jerry Jones' new practice facility.
Thank goodness it's not in Birmingham anymore.
Oh, absolutely. UAB continues to rule the conference from a standpoint of telling the Conference USA commissioner how things are going to be. But, yeah, I'm excited to see how this team continues to progress as they get to conference play that begins in January. And, Sutton, one thing that I heard earlier today on Sean Fox's The Sports Company show this afternoon, Kay McGuire mentioned that Tech's non-conference schedule currently ranks 63rd in the country, and their combined opponents' win-loss record is 51-29. Tech's certainly playing a quality non-conference schedule.
Absolutely.
And Texas is still on the horizon.
Yeah, and I think that's going to set up to be a big one. You know, we saw at the beginning of the year, Alabama and Texas on the schedule, and, you know, I know we're not playing football, but those are two of the best.
Texas ain't good at football.
Well, back in my college days, it was Texas and Alabama just about every year.
Oh, I'm with you.
But all I'm saying is to go into Austin and win that game against Texas would do a lot for this RPI. But quality losses matter just as much as quality wins. And at the end of the year, I don't know that anyone's getting in that large bid from Conference USA, but it would be nice to have those quality wins on the schedule. I know we'll get to some more Louisiana Tech basketball as the game progresses. If you want to follow along, keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue. I know we'll have a couple of in-game updates coming at you from the Thomas Assembly Center. But first, Ben, before we get to our next break, I want to talk really quick about Louisiana Tech football recruiting. I know this week has been huge on the recruiting front right before this early signing period next week. Tell us about this new get that we've got here coming to Ruston and why it could be the biggest signing we've had in 10 years.
Yeah, you mentioned it. You hit the nail on the head. Maurice Wren, 6'3", 223-pound athlete, committed to Louisiana Tech on Sunday afternoon after he made his official visit to Ruston. He's another kid from Mesquite Horn. That's the third commitment.
Becoming a Tech factory.
Yeah, that's a pipeline. Wren had a phenomenal senior season at Mesquite Horn, 51 catches, 812 yards, 11 touchdowns. Another big body receiver that can really stretch the field. Former Arkansas commit.
Yeah, he's got offers from just about everybody in the country. Baylor, Arizona, Arkansas, Colorado, Missouri, Nebraska, Ole Miss, Washington. That's just some of them.
Oh, and yeah.
This is a kid who could have played wherever he wanted to.
Yeah, and I know before he visited Ruston, he had visits signed up to go out to Arizona, to go to Utah, to go to Washington. I think a lot of times we forget that Washington was in the college football playoff just a year ago. I'm interested to get your take. Is this a bigger recruit than Amik Robertson? From my point of view, it definitely is.
Well, this is the first time we've seen a quality two-way player, you know, coming in, a true athlete.
Yeah, he was, just real quick, he was committed to Arkansas as
a defensive end. Yeah. This is an ESPN top 300 guy. I think he was ranked number 224 overall in the country, and then the number 24 athlete in the country. So a four-star recruit. I don't know that ESPN has him listed as a four-star. I don't know that I've ever seen Tech land a four-star recruit. And that's something that I think should not, you know, be taken lightly. Obviously, Amik Robertson had an incredible freshman year, and we all knew he would, and he's going to be a star and one that, you know, we'll remember for a long time. But this Maurice Wren kid, his size, 6'4", 215 right now, I know if he wants to play receiver, which is why I think he chose Tech, is because Tech gave him an opportunity to play receiver. If he adds 10, 15 pounds, he could be, you know, the sky's the limit for him.
Calvin Johnson.
Body. Seriously, that's the body he's got.
Yeah, he's a big kid. And then kind of shifting over to more a little bit of a negative side, Taiwan Francis, cornerback safety at Landry Walker. We talked about him last week and how good he was at playing the ball. Visited Colorado State this past weekend and ends up decommitting from Tech, and he will sign with the Colorado State Rams. Not a huge loss from Tech's perspective. Tech has plenty of young defensive backs, you know, more young defensive backs coming in this class. But, you know, if he thinks the grass is greener, have fun at Colorado State.
No pun intended.
Building snowmen and playing in the Mountain West against Nevada.
Yeah, I mean, you said the grass is greener. I'm not going to say anything specific about Colorado, but you never know.
Yeah,
anyway.
Absolutely. And so, you know, signing day next Wednesday, you know, it's obviously Another intriguing storyline to the bowl game. I think the Tech coaches will handle that similarly to how they have handled it in years past. They'll have somebody back in Ruston handling the fax machine as those faxes come in. The announcements will be made via social media.
December 20th, shaking up to be a big day for Louisiana Tech.
Absolutely. I know you and I and, you know, our other friend, co-host Beck, will be on our way to Frisco. We'll do our best. We'll have it all covered. We'll have it, you know, just tune in, bleedtechblue.com, just $9.95 a month.
Ben's fingers will be tired that day from tweeting so much about all the new commitments and the new signees. So that will be a day you don't want to miss. December 20th, early signing period begins. Maurice Wren, the number 24-ranked athlete in the country, a four-star recruit on ESPN.com, will sign his name on the dotted line and become a Louisiana Tech Bulldog. And I think that it's huge for guys like Maurice Wren, who are thought of so highly across the country, you know, offers to just about every Power 5 school you could think of, excluding Alabama. I think it's huge for other kids to see him say, no, I'm coming to Ruston, I'm going to build something special here, and especially, you know, someone of his caliber.
Well, that's where I liken him to Amik Robertson. He wants to be his own player. He wants to make a name for himself at a university that best suits him and his personality, and you have to commend the kid for that. He's going to be a great player, and he's looking to make a legacy of his own.
And credit the Louisiana Tech coaches for not being so stuck on one thing that they let him slip away. I know the opportunity to play receiver was huge for him. So great job to Joe Sloan and his staff for saying, yeah, you want to play receiver? If that's what gets your name on the dotted line, we'll trot you out there at receiver and hope for the best. So credit to those guys, a huge get for Louisiana Tech. When we come back, we're going to take a look at Dunkin' Dog basketball, check in there over at the Thomas Assembly Center, talk a little bit more recruiting, and continue to preview the matchup next week against SMU in the DXL Frisco Bowl. You won't want to miss it. Stay with us right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Sports Talk 97.7.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank, banking on a first-name basis. Uncommon, people, service, and convenience. Uncommon, dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank, beyond banking, with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank, the uncommon bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Feed a big hunger on a small budget with the new menu at Scott's Catfish and Seafood. 9 full meals under $10. Every Tuesday night, buy one burger po' boy or quesadilla, get another burger po' boy or quesadilla at half price. Cool weather's a great time for gumbo and etouffee. And don't forget the catfish and shrimp lunch buffet. No time to dine in? Use the drive-thru and get a family meal starting at $16.99 at Scott's Catfish and Seafood.
Down home cooking from Scott's tonight.
Ruston, West Monroe.
For years, serious hunters around here have gotten close to that big buck on a Bad Boy Buggy from Fairway Carts in Minden. Well, Bad Boy Buggy has a new name. Textron Off-Road, still committed to providing the same power, range, and stealth you demand. Textron Off-Road side-by-sides are whisper quiet, have plenty of distance for wherever you hunt, excellent steering, and deliver a great ride. Hey, you just need to come test ride one to see for yourself. And you can count on Fairway Carts to have the selection you want and always make you a great deal. 2018 models are rolling in, so remaining 17s are priced to move with big rebates and low interest financing with approved credit. Talk with Larry about a sweet Fairway Carts deal on the one you want most and find out how much you'll save. All the reasons you want a Bad Boy Buggy now wrapped up in a new name, Textron Off-Road. Trailer yours home from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 800-960-CART or go to fairwaycarts.net.
Want to find out stuff about tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Before we get to some talk about Louisiana Tech and SMU, a quick update from the Thomas Assembly Center. ULL currently leads the Dunkin' Dogs 13-4 with 13:30 remaining in the first half. Good friend of ours, Jeff Cook, will call us in the next segment, kind of give his update from the Thomas Assembly Center on how he sees the Dogs playing throughout the first half. But just to talk a little bit more about the matchup with SMU Sutton, I don't think it can be beaten until the horse is dead. Sonny Dykes is the new head coach at Southern Miss. Southern Methodist SMU.
Let's just get this out of the way. You just want to say Southern Miss. We're used to talking about Conference USA. We're used to saying Southern Miss. They abbreviate themselves SMU. So when you see it on paper, you just say Southern Miss. Just bear with us. It's going to happen.
Yeah, we don't like either one of
them.
That's
right. We don't.
But talking about Sonny Dykes a little bit, what Sonny Dykes did in Ruston, I'll be quite honest with you. I didn't know Sonny Dykes from a personal standpoint. What he did with the Bulldog offense was phenomenal.
Yeah, he doesn't have the best reputation in Ruston. The way he left, I think he burned some bridges on his way out.
Absolutely.
But I will go on record and say this. He's one of my favorite coaches in Louisiana Tech history. This is a team that came from the darkest of days with Jack Bicknell.
Derek Dooley.
To Derek Dooley, who, I will say, did some good things.
Dooley started to move the program to where we are today.
He really did, and he was also the AD at the same time as he was the head coach, which is not something you see from a 30-something-year-old head coach at, you know, a major college football program.
We need to get Derek Dooley on the show and let him break down everything that he did well for Louisiana Tech.
I would love that.
Get some firsthand analysis on how Xavier Woods is playing for the Cowboys and why Dez Bryant can't catch the football.
Or why Dez caught it. Hashtag Dez caught it. So
absolutely.
We need to get Derek Dooley on here. If anybody has any insiders in the Cowboys PR office, give us a holler on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. And hey, speaking of that, give us a call on the Fairway Carts hotline 1-888-993-7762 to give us your thoughts on what you think about the matchup between Louisiana Tech and their old head coach Sonny Dykes.
We'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. And you know, while we wait on some calls to come in, because I know they're going to be pouring in any minute here.
Pouring.
Sonny Dykes. Let's just take a look at his time at Louisiana Tech. He inherits a 4-8 program from Derek Dooley, who literally changed his tie in front of the players to an orange Tennessee Vols tie and said, peace out, and ran out of the building.
Deuces.
And you get Sonny Dykes, who is an old baseball player.
Yeah, great hire. Great offensive mind.
And I know most of us are thinking, what in the world? Obviously, we knew the name Spike Dykes and the kind of offense he put together at Texas Tech, so we knew that he was at least in some sort of relation to great offensive minds, but I don't think we were ready for the kind of skyrocket that we saw from that Louisiana Tech offense during Sonny Dykes' time.
Oh, you speaking of Sonny Dykes, he comes to Ruston, and I know you remember it.
Oh, for sure.
They used the phrase high octane when he came in.
Air raid.
His first game ever.
That was like the theme of the season that year.
Yeah, high octane. His first game ever. We travel down I-20 to take on Grambling State, and Sonny Dykes puts up 20 points. And I can't tell you, I don't think I've ever left the stadium more disappointed, because it wasn't exactly high octane.
Yeah, I think we were kind of all pretty nervous about that. Now, granted, we didn't really know what kind of players we had, you know, at that point. You got Ross Jenkins at quarterback.
Yeah.
Colby Cameron is sitting on the bench.
Sunshine.
Has never gotten in a game, pretty much. And I think what you saw there was Sonny Dykes playing with the Derek Dooley holdovers that really had just underachieved pretty hard. But time progresses. Players get put in place that were recruited to play in that same style of offense, in the high-octane air raid offense. And boy, did it open up.
And for every time I saw Sonny Dykes' offensive coordinator, Tony Franklin, walking around campus, which was about 500 times, was how many points the Dogs scored in that historic season.
2012.
In 2012, when the Dogs averaged, I believe it was like 52 points a game. Colby Cameron, Quentin Patton, Miles White, Kenneth Dixon, Tevin King early on in
Ray
that
Holly.
Year. Ray Holly.
Hunter Lee.
You can't put it past that offense. I've seen a lot of great offenses. We've seen Baker Mayfield. We've seen Cliff Kingsbury. There's never been one better than what Sonny Dykes put together at Louisiana Tech. in 2012. And that's just a testament for how well he can coach the offensive side of the football. Looking at the defensive side of things, that's an entirely different story. Outside of the 2011 season when defensive coordinator Tommy Spangler, led by a linebacker, perhaps, you know, maybe the best linebacker since he left, Adrian Cole, was flying around the field. That defense was good, but other than that, Dykes really had it was really a struggle for him to put a quality defensive product on the field. And I think I remember back to this 2012 year, I believe Tech was 9-1. Only loss on the year was 59-57 to Johnny Football. I don't know if you've seen him lately, but he ain't playing football. And Tech's 9-1, two home game or a home game with Utah State, a road game with San Jose State. You know, Orange Bowl's in the Joe, and Sonny Dykes starts looking for another job. And I think that's where Bulldog fans really got a sour taste in their mouth.
Well, that's kind of been a theme in Coach Dykes' career. I think he did the same thing at Cal, you know. Cal starts getting some, you know, having a good season. I think they started 5-0 one year for the first time, and teams started calling. And, boy, did he just get his heart set on something else quick. I think that if there's anything I could fault Coach Dykes for other than not giving a flat rip about playing defense, which I don't necessarily fault him for.
I like offense.
Yeah. If there's anything against him, it's that he loves bigger, better. And I think, you know, he wasn't, you know, obviously his first head coaching job at Louisiana Tech, a program like Cal comes sniffing down your, you know, your block, you're going to lose your focus pretty quick. And that was what we saw that year when Tech drops those last two games to far inferior opponents at Utah State and San Jose State. And then at Cal, he does the same thing. Baylor brings him in for an interview. I think Missouri brought him in for an interview.
He was just trying to get out. I don't think he fit well culturally in Cal. But
yeah, not at all.
You just can't do that. And that's one thing that baffles me. You know, he's a quality coach. You can say what you want to say about him, the type of man he is, but he is a really good football coach. And, man, I just can't get past the fact that he just wants the next job.
Well, and, you know, I've never been in that position, so I don't know what it feels like to have major college football programs, you know, knocking on your door wanting you to be their head coach or at least interview. That's got to be a feeling that is hard to pass up, you know?
Oh, absolutely, and especially when a team's, you know, potentially offering you a raise as well. You're going to take the time to look at it. Sonny Dykes is, I think you and I would both agree, his dream job is probably at Texas Tech.
He's on his way. He's in the state of Texas.
Yeah, and he's at SMU, and I don't think he'll be quick to bolt from there if he does get the opportunity to, if Cliff Kingsbury does get relieved of his duties, which who knows if it'll ever happen because Texas Tech apparently doesn't care about winning.
Yeah, well, they have put together a couple of pretty good offenses themselves in the last couple of years. But we're going to take another quick break. When we get back, we'll hear from our friend Jeff Cook, who's inside the Thomas Assembly Center, going to call in and give us a quick update on how things are looking in the Dunkin' Dogs matchup with Louisiana Lafayette. And we will be right back on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Stay with us on Sports Talk 97.7.
Our model year end closeout is going strong. This is Steve Brennan with Brennan Dodge, and our big finish to 2017 is full of huge savings. Get a 17 Dodge Challenger for only $23.9. A 17 Dodge Charger SXT Blacktop is only $26.9. Save $7,000 off MSRP on 17 Jeep Grand Cherokee Limited, and save $7,000 off MSRP on 17 Jeep Cherokee Trailhawk. The last of the 17s are moving quick, so hurry into the big finish of 2017 at Brennan Dodge in Ruston.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat. And you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town or at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
Yep, it's hunting season, and you think it's too late to get that new deer stand. Hey, at Ideal Portable Buildings and Trailer Sales, it's never too late. Get a custom-built box stand from Ideal, exactly like you want it, and get a real good price on it, too. Plus, Ideal has the right utility trailer for any hauling you need to do. Haul it, cover it, or store it. Ideal Portable Buildings and Trailer Sales, 699-9426. 699-9426.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed & Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubok Ruston Monroe, 97.7.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. As you just heard, we would love to hear your thoughts on everything Louisiana Tech this week. Lots of news happening in the Louisiana Tech sports world. Give us a call or a text on the Fairway Carts hotline at 1-888-993-7762. Ben, we've talked a lot about the Frisco Bowl. We've talked a lot about SMU and what we can expect in that game. We've talked about Sonny Dykes. But now I think we need to talk about what's really important. Louisiana Tech is on the other side of that sideline. Sonny Dykes ain't our coach anymore. What is Skip Holtz and this team going to do to be ready for a Southern Miss offense that looks to be Southern Methodist. An SMU offense that looks to be pretty far superior to the Louisiana Tech offense at the moment.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to slow down Southern Methodist from a defensive standpoint. When you look at what all they can do with Ben Hicks, when you look at Cortland Sutton, when you look at Trey Quinn, you know, those three guys are really dynamic. Real quick, let's go ahead and go to the Fairway Carts hotline. Good friend
switching
of ours.
Switching gears a little bit.
Yeah, switching gears back to the Dunkin' Dogs real quick. Jeff Cook joins us on the hotline live from the Thomas Assembly Center. How's it going out there, Jeff?
Oh, Ben, it's not going too great in the attack so far. There's about 5 minutes left in the first half, and the Dogs are trailing 27-14. They came out real sluggish and sloppy to start the first half. The Cajuns jumped out to a 10-point lead, and then the Dogs just haven't quite been able to get back in it. The Cajuns have made a few threes and just been given a lot of easy baskets by the Bulldogs, which seems to be somewhat of a theme for this team. But the thing that the Dogs do have going for them is Daquan Bracey started the show before I stepped out, and has shown all season that he can just take over a game whenever he wants to. So hoping that he'll get going and just kind of get to the basket like he does, because game in and game out of the season, he's just gotten to the basket whenever he wants to. So I'm hopeful that that'll keep the Dogs in the game, because right now they're not looking like they came to play tonight.
Absolutely, Jeff. Well, you know, hopefully Louisiana Tech can get things back on track. We obviously thank you for calling in and giving us an update from the Thomas Assembly Center. One quick question before we let you go. How's the crowd looking out there tonight?
Man, I was a little disappointed with the crowd tonight, Ben. I mean, there's probably the most people I've seen at a game since the opener, but there's still lots of empty seats in the lower bowl and a few people scattered up top, but a little disappointing, but it is a Tuesday night and it's early in the season. So, I'll give the Tech fans a little bit of a pass on that, but, would have liked to have seen a few more people in the seats tonight.
Jeff, what do you think is the key for the Dogs to get back in it before half? I know you said there's about 5 minutes left before the first half. What is it going to take to bring that score within, you know, 6 or 7 points going into the half and maybe have some momentum coming out of the locker room?
I think, like I said, I think everything with this team comes back to two things on offense, and that's Daquan Bracey just getting to the basket whenever he wants, and then us making threes. I think we all know that Jacoby Boykins could make a three and then make four threes before we know it, and this could be a tie ball game. It's hard to tell. So they just need to play some defense, stop giving them easy buckets. The Raging Cajuns have a lot of big guys on their team, and they're just getting a lot of easy baskets down low right now. They took Jonaya out early because he just wasn't matching up well against them. So I think just taking away the easy buckets and then maybe hitting a few threes, I think that's all this team needs.
Absolutely, Jeff. Well, we thank you for calling in, and we'll be headed to the Thomas Assembly Center here very soon.
Appreciate it, guys. I'll see you in a bit.
Thanks, Jeff.
Jeff Cook, Duncan Dogs trail by 16. I think I saw on the Tech Twitter, Tech's just 7 of 20 from the field with 8 turnovers. Not going to cut it.
Yeah, this is a team that we've talked about it all the time. They're streaky. And
when the guards aren't shooting well, they struggle to score.
I think what they're experiencing right now are some matchup problems. You know, like Jeff mentioned, they're a big team inside and you know, have those guys from those Power 5 transfer schools, like you said, that are those bigger bodies that Tech has a little trouble matching up with. Janiya White, not the biggest 5 in the country. And so I think it's going to be, you know.
Oh, he's big. He's just skinny.
He's tall. But he weighs as much as I do, and you know, he's 130. A foot and a half taller. So I think, you know, like Jeff mentioned, we've got to start putting together some rhythm from three, but not, you know, selling out for the three ball either. Let Daquan Bracey get to the bucket like he does so well and get our big three going really well.
Absolutely. Let's shift back over to the gridiron. That's what we're here for. It's football season. The Dogs are in their 4th straight bowl game, taking on SMU. I know before Jeff called in, we were talking a little bit about what Tech needs to do defensively to slow down such a potent SMU offense. When you look at all SMU can do on offense, it's just truly remarkable to see what Chad Morris did there. Sonny Dykes has to be, you know, thanking the Lord Jesus for the offense that he's inheriting. When you look at Xavier Jones, 1,000-yard back, you look at Ben Hicks throwing the ball, you look at 2,000-yard receivers. I said it last week when we had Jason Jones in studio with me. This offense reminds me of Tech from a year ago with Trent Taylor, Carlos Henderson, Jared Kraft, Ryan Higgins slinging it all over the yard. They're going to be tough to slow down.
I was thinking the exact same thing. Trey Quinn and Cortland Sutton are carbon copies of Carlos Henderson and Trent Taylor. Now, Trey Quinn's a little taller than Trent was, but he plays the same type of role on that offense. And then Cortland Sutton is the Carlos Henderson, the home run hitter, the deep ball at any time type of guy. And Ben Hicks honestly reminds me a lot of a Ryan Higgins. He's not going to do anything super flashy, but he can air it out when it's time.
And he can get it to his playmaker.
Yeah, he knows how to get the ball into his playmaker's hands. So this is not going to be easy for this Louisiana Tech defense. Fortunately, I think they're much improved from a year ago, and I think they've really grown a lot this year as a unit. And if we see the guys who we know can make plays on that side of the ball, such as, you know, Jalen Ferguson, Amik Robertson.
Hold on, stop right there. Jalen Ferguson had a monster game against UTSA in his last outing. When you look at how often SMU is going to throw the football, Jalen Ferguson has to cause havoc in the backfield all night.
Absolutely.
If Tech can't get a pass rush going, it's not going to matter how well Amik Robertson plays, how well Darrell Lewis plays at safety, how well first-team all-conference safety Cedric Cooper plays. Jalen Ferguson, Deldrick Canty, Emmanuel Turner, Eric Kinzer, they are going to have to rush the passer relentlessly all night to give Tech a chance to slow down this SMU offense.
Did you watch Monday Night Football last night?
Absolutely.
What did you notice about Tom Brady?
He was under pressure all night. And you look what – he's the GOAT.
He's the best quarterback to ever play. But he's not immune to pressure in his face. You put pressure in a quarterback's face, they will make mistakes. And Tom Brady proved that last night. You've got to get to the quarterback. If Ben Hicks – it doesn't matter if it's Ben Hicks or, I don't know, Ben Carlisle at quarterback.
Well, I can sling it.
Someone who's able to stand there with time will dice you up.
Yeah, and you have to flush him out of the pocket. You have to get pressure in his face. You have to collapse the pocket. If Tech can get pressure with their front four, you know, that could be – probably the most vital key in this game for Tech on defense is getting pressure with just four and allowing Coach Baker to use some of his talents on the back end in the secondary to maybe double-team a Cortland Sutton. I think when you look at Trey Quinn, he's averaging nearly 9 catches a game. He's going to get his.
Absolutely.
And
just
so,
like Trent used to do.
Yeah. You know, Trent Taylor, Coach Holt said it a billion times this year, kind of tongue-in-cheek, but – you know, it was 3rd and Trent Taylor last year for Louisiana Tech. Adam Grossbard said it on third down, Ben Hicks is looking for Trey Quinn. He's going to get his catches. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if you saw a Meek Robertson match up with him a lot in the slot just to try to take away some of his game. I know he's going to be a really good option route runner, which is what Trent Taylor thrived at. So, you know, hopefully Tech can get pressure with their front four and slow down a potent SMU offense. Let's shift over to the Tech offense and what they're going to need to do if they want to have some success against SMU.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first I want to say this just as a side note. All Trey right. Quinn, you mentioned a Louisiana kid from Barb High School, originally signed at LSU, played a year there, but wasn't able to be used the way you wanted to be. And I have a theory that if every LSU signee who sat the bench, every 4- and 5-star recruit who sat the bench would just do what Trey Quinn did and go somewhere else, there would be so much more parity in college football. All these kids just want to hang their hat on signing with a program like Alabama, like LSU. And I just don't know if sitting the bench at LSU is enough to hang your hat on. Go to an SMU. You may not be playing in front of 90,000, but you have a chance to really make a name for yourself and get yourself to the next level. That's all I'm saying about Trey Quinn.
Well,
good for him.
And Trey Quinn's a guy who I think he holds, you know, virtually every national high school receiving record. And he visited Tech 2 years ago when he was transferring. So that was a kid that Tech could potentially have this year. I know he'd be a vital key to this offense. You put him in the slot alongside Teddy Veal. Things would get wild and crazy out there with Jamar Smith at quarterback.
Absolutely. Speaking of Jamar Smith, Ben, give us some keys to the Louisiana Tech offense going into this week's matchup. Talk about the SMU defense. Tell us what we can expect and how Jamar and the offense can move the ball consistently.
Yeah, when you look at this SMU defense, giving up 36 points per game, that's right up Sonny Dykes' alley. He doesn't like to stop anyone. They're giving up 213 yards on the ground, 273 yards through the air. That's the Sonny Dykes special right there.
Sounds like he's in the perfect situation.
Oh, yeah. He just play a lot of offense, play no defense, play flag football on defense in a tackle football game, and he'll be satisfied as long as you give some good effort and run some wind sprints chasing guys to the end zone. Here's the issue. Tech's had trouble piling up large number of points. Jason and I talked about it last week. I think Tech's going to need 40 to win this game. I think 40 at a minimum is what it's going to take.
Which is scary because Tech hasn't scored 40 one time this year except against Northwestern State. Not discounting them, but that is an FCS program, and it's very much not an FCS program that we're playing
Tech
today.
Tech scored 40 against Rice and UTEP.
Wow, you're right.
Yeah, so and just,
one combined win between the two of them.
Yeah, they're really killing it this year, not exactly playing in a bowl game. But looking at what Jamar Smith needs to do from a quarterback position. It's been 3 weeks, or when it gets to game day, it'll be in about 3 weeks since the final game that Louisiana Tech played against UTSA, a game in which Jamar, he struggled, to put it nicely, and we've talked about it all year. You can call me a Jamar Smith apologist. You and I have argued about this with friends time and time again, but I still believe Jamar Smith has the talent to be a very good college quarterback at Louisiana Tech, and he's had 3 weeks to, you know, watch 12 games of game film and get on the same page with Rashid Bonnet, Adrian Hardy, Teddy Veal. Hopefully Teddy's healing up. I know he's banged up.
You know who he won't be able to get on the same page with is
Cole Beasley, because he'll be playing for the Cowboys.
Well, Cole Beasley looks like he could be playing in the slot for SMU with Trey Quinn.
I think Cole Beasley did go to SMU, actually.
He's been a Dallas guy his whole life.
Absolutely. But, yeah, Jamar has the opportunity to get on the same page with his receivers. I think we'll see Jared Kraft healthier. Of course, Boston Scott, future first-round pick Boston Scott. Okay, I'm dreaming here, but Boston's been sensational.
Could have a chance to play on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think it's a third down back. Boston's been sensational throughout the year. Really stepped up when Jared Kraft went down with an injury. But, you know, Jamar, at the end of the day, he's going to have to sling it around. I think that he has an opportunity to play without fear in this game. So what if you struggle? You know, what's next? The offseason? You can go win the quarterback job back if it becomes an open competition. He needs to sling it all over the yard. If he throws 5 interceptions, so what? But let's see him sling it down the field, take some shots deep to Rashid Bonnet, Adrian Hardy, and let's see what happens. I'm excited to see what Coach Holtz has in store for us. He's done such an outstanding job at having his teams prepared for the last three bowl games, and I'm excited to see the product that Louisiana Tech puts on the field next Wednesday night in Frisco inside Toyota Stadium. We're going to go ahead and take our final timeout. When we come back from the break, we're going to recap the show and
get into some tough questions.
Absolutely. Maybe take another quick look at the Duncan Dogs and what their score is with UL Lafayette.
Stay with us. Sports Talk 97.7.
Feed a big hunger on a small budget with the new menu at Scott's Catfish and Seafood. 9 full meals under $10. Every Tuesday night, buy one burger po' boy or quesadilla, get another burger po' boy or quesadilla at half price. Cool weather's a great time for gumbo and etouffee. And don't forget the catfish and shrimp lunch buffet. No time to dine in? Use the drive-thru and get a family meal starting at $16.99 at Scott's Catfish and Seafood.
Down home cooking from Scott's tonight.
Ruston, West Monroe.
First National Bank. The Uncommon Bank. Banking on a first-name basis. Uncommon. People, service, and convenience. Uncommon. Dedication. Trust and courtesy. First National Bank. Beyond banking with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank. The Uncommon Bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
For years, serious hunters around here have gotten close to that big buck on a Bad Boy Buggy from Fairway Carts in Minden. Well, Bad Boy Buggy has a new name. Textron Off-Road, still committed to providing the same power, range, and stealth you demand. Textron Off-Road side-by-sides are whisper quiet, have plenty of distance for wherever you hunt, excellent steering, and deliver a great ride. Hey, you just need to come test ride one to see for yourself. And you can count on Fairway Carts to have the selection you want and always make you a great deal. 2018 models are rolling in, so remaining 17s are priced to move with big rebates and low interest financing with approved credit. Talk with Larry about a sweet Fairway Carts deal on the one you want most and find out how much you'll save. All the reasons you want a Bad Boy Buggy now wrapped up in a new name, Textron Off-Road. Trailer yours home from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 800-960-CART or go to fairwaycarts.net.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Final segment tonight before Ben and I head over to the Thomas Assembly Center to catch the second half of the Louisiana Tech University of Louisiana Lafayette basketball
game. Call them Lafayette
game.
University.
Lafayette, whatever. They're not the University of Louisiana.
Tech trails by 13 at the half, 38-25.
So we'll get to more Duncan Dogs updates here shortly. First, I want to clear up something I was talking about in the last segment. I was about to tell you that there's a certain player on the Louisiana Tech offense that they will be without this week. And I was going to say it, and Ben reeled me in because – you know, he's the boss, and we got to keep some stuff private to the board. But one key member of the Louisiana Tech offense has been suspended. If you want to find out more about who it is and what happened, that has been reported yesterday on the Louisiana Tech, on BleedTechBlue.com, excuse me. So join us on BleedTechBlue.com. I know there's a lot more stuff happening on the board. Ben, tell us about it.
Yeah, as Sutton mentioned, Tech will be without a key cog. On the Bulldog offense, you can join us at BleedTechBlue.com for just $9.95 a month. We have recruiting covered. We got visitors coming in this weekend. We had Maurice Wren. We knew he was coming in a week before he did. If you're looking for Louisiana Tech coverage regarding recruiting, there's nothing better than what we have going on at BleedTechBlue.com. Tech's also finalized another home-and-home deal on the gridiron. You can join us at BleedTechBlue.com to find out all the latest on that. I could go on and on about what's going on at the site. We're catching up with recruits daily. We've caught up with, you know, Broderick Calhoun. We've caught up with
B.J. Williamson.
B.J. Williamson, Christian Henderson, DeAndre Marcus from Ruston High. Running back, some news, some pretty intriguing news came out about him a week ago. Big JUCO left tackle expected to visit this weekend. You can just join us on BleedTechBlue.com. We have it all covered.
It's the number one place to be in the loop on Louisiana Tech Athletics.
Absolutely, and we'd love to have you.
It's also a cool community of fans. I think, you know, you really grow to love the other people on the board. And I know at the Frisco Bowl next week, there's going to be a huge watch or a huge pregame party for BleedTechBlue.com members. And just really cool to see our community on the board come together and really enjoy community with each other.
Absolutely. So be sure to join us, BleedTechBlue.com, just $9.95 a month. Let's get into it. Some hard-hitting questions before we get out of here this week. And go watch some Dunkin' Dogs against ULL.
Yeah, first question for you. Here's the deal. We talked about it multiple times. The Frisco Bowl, straight down I-20, about 3.5-hour drive. Not even all the way to Dallas. It's a pretty easy shot. We heard Sean Johnson talk about how both teams are selling through their allotments quickly. I know Tech has already asked for more tickets. I know Southern Miss is obviously
– Southern Miss.
Golly.
SMU.
SMU has asked for more tickets. We would beat either one of them, just to be frank. But what do you think we can expect to see in Toyota Stadium as far as a crowd? I know it holds around 22,000. Will it be full? What do you expect to sell out? And what do you think the game day atmosphere will be like?
I think the game day atmosphere will be exceptional. When you look at Toyota Stadium, it holds just over 20,000, holds 20,500 folks. And with a regional matchup, both teams, like you mentioned, requesting additional allotments, I wouldn't be surprised if, like Sean mentioned, he's looking for a sellout. He knows the excitement around that area and, you know, how much the fans look forward to games. I think when you look at the FCS Championship, who normally doesn't even have teams from remotely close to
North Dakota State.
Yeah, and, you know, you might as well get out to the stadium. And I would be excited to see 20,500 in there. When you mentioned Sonny Dykes coming back to be the SMU coach, for me that adds a lot of extra intrigue to this game that might not have been there a week ago when Chad Morris left for Arkansas. So your thoughts on the intrigue that the Sonny Dykes hiring has to this game, just knowing that both teams, you know, have a connection to him?
Well, I've made no bone about it. Sonny Dykes is a coach that I loved his time in Ruston. I think what he did for our program is special, and I think we're still experiencing, you know, the effects of that. You know, you look at a team that is number one in the country in total offense, scoring almost 60 points a game, averaging almost 600 yards of offense a game. I think I remember during his time we put 50 on Idaho before the half.
Yeah, we scored 70 in that game.
70 total in the game, 50 before half. I just remember thinking, wow, this is special. And I think, you know, no knock on Skip Holtz at all. It's a different type of offense. It's a different game with different players.
And Skip's put up some potent offensive numbers.
But there is certain parts of every Louisiana Tech fan, if they're honest with themselves, that reaches down deep and wishes we would put up 70 again. And I think
– let's put up 70 against SMU. Their defense is terrible.
Their defense is the right one to do it. But I think it'll be really fun and interesting to see Coach Dykes over there. I know, like you mentioned, there's a lot of people in the building over here that are familiar with him. And he's a good coach. And I think, you know, good for him for getting back on the head coaching train and hopefully leading Southern Miss to some success. SMU, Southern Methodist.
And you mentioned the great job that Skip Holtz has done at his time at Louisiana Tech. We've talked about Maurice Wynn. We talked about Isaiah Winman last week, committing from John Arrett. Devon Smoke Harris from West Feliciana, named the most outstanding player in the 3A state championship game.
It'll be fun to have Smoke in a
307 total yards in the state championship game against Richwood out of Monroe. That brings me to my next question. Do you feel like the quality of athlete that Skip Holtz is bringing in seems to get a little bit better year in and year out?
Yeah, I think absolutely. You look at Maurice Wren, the first ever four-star recruit that Louisiana Tech has brought. Is that true?
I'm not sure it's the first ever, but
first in a long time.
Yeah, it's been a rarity for sure.
I mean, that guy is special. His size, his ability, he's a two-way player.
Which,
and for me, most importantly, he just wants to be himself.
Yeah, he wants to come and be a big part of a Louisiana Tech offense that is excited to have him, not just another guy on the sidelines at a, you know, massive Power 5 school like, you know, Arkansas, Alabama.
And I'm right there with you, and you talk about him, and there's just numerous Tech commitments at this point that are holding numerous Power 5 offers that are turning down those offers, looking for an opportunity to, you know, play for a winning program, to play for a quality program, to play for a program that's a family. And Skip Holtz has really established a brotherhood within that Louisiana Tech locker room, which is extremely commendable in the job that he's done. And one real quick last question before we get out of here. You talk about bringing in great recruits, whether it's basketball or football. We're seeing players transfer at a higher rate than ever. Should the NCAA place more restrictions on this, or, you know, just let them go and not even have to sit?
I almost feel like, I'm sure this, you know, comes from a Louisiana Tech perspective, but I almost wish they would just not even have to sit.
I'm with you.
I wish that guys who, you know, like a Trey Quinn who goes to LSU and isn't happy with the amount of playing time he gets, he's maybe stuck behind the depth chart, stuck on the depth chart behind guys, you know, who are going to be future NFL first-round picks. He should be able to go play at an SMU and not have to lose a year of eligibility. Now, will that ever happen? Probably not, because it affects big schools the most. And
yeah,
those of us over in the General Five, they are the Group of Five or whatever you want to call it, we would benefit from something like that. You know how many awesome, you know, quality transfers we could get if there wasn't a sit-out rule.
Yeah, and I'm right there with you. And, you know, that last question was asked – because on BleedTechBlue.com, two high-power five transfers looking at Louisiana Tech. So we're going to get out of here on that note. Join us at BleedTechBlue.com, $9.95 a month.
$9.95 a month. Merry Christmas to you. We'll be back next week, same
and,
time.
You know, 7 o'clock next week. 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock start. Flip on over to our friends over on 107.5 for Louisiana Tech basketball. Finishing up the game against University of Louisiana at Lafayette. Dunkin' Dogs in action right now in the Thomas Assembly Center. Have a great night. For Bleed Tech Blue Radio, we'll see you soon.
Listen for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Go deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting with your host, Ben Carlisle. Also brought to you by National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Delta Broadband, Ideal Portable Building, Brister's Smokehouse, and Fairway Carts. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
He got cut from his freshman high school team. He got cut from varsity, I believe, as a freshman, the Michael Jordan story. And Michael Jordan actually went through some trials and some pain as a youngster trying to make his high school team. So he wasn't ready to go from high school to the pros. And the other kids, you know, LaMelo and LiAngelo, people are wondering what they're going to do long term. They're going to go play professionally in Lithuania, where they're going to get paid a lot of money to get that type of training professionally. It's not the NBA, but there are good coaches overseas, and they're supposed to come back, Tom, one step closer to the NBA. I don't know if one Ball brother's going to make it, two or all three of them, but LeVar thinks all of them are going to have a real good shot.
Parenting's an improv. Everybody knows that. Some people read parenting magazine. Some people don't. Some people follow what they read in parenting magazine. People do it on their own. You know that, JT. Everybody's got a different style, and we're witnessing and judging LaVar Ball's style, but every parent has a different style. And, hey, he lives with his kids and is promoting his kids who have big goals. Good for them.
And two other stories coming up. Kawhi Leonard will play for the Spurs tonight. That's a big deal. He's expected to go, and he'll return, which is a huge deal because they're winning without him.
Oh, they are. They have the fourth best record in the NBA, and he hasn't played a game for them this year.
And two teams, Tom, if you drink the Kool-Aid at the Target Center, you're supposed to believe in the process of the 76ers.
Oh, yes.
And what do you always say about the Timberwolves?
Oh, they're really good on paper. They're excellent on paper.
Tonight's a game between the 76ers and the Timberwolves.
Yeah, it's the Green Banana Bowl.
More young talent, Tom, than has ever been assembled in the history of the NBA
Wolves-76ers
game tonight. And it could be time to break up OKC. I'm starting to believe that. Paul George, Carmelo, Russell Westbrook, Steven Adams, they just can't get any chemistry going. And that team's getting to the point where the biggest decision in the NBA, the number one decision at the All-Star break, will be what to do with Paul George. Let him go at the end of the year for nothing, or move him quickly to the Lakers, Tom, where he wants to be, because wherever Paul George ends up in a trade at the trade deadline, he's going to insist that he remains a free agent and has a chance to go to the Lakers. So yeah. Oklahoma City's in a tough spot. I think you go down with the ship with him, but if they want anything in return, the team that's going to do a deal for Paul George might not have him, because the Lakers are going to come in the offseason and win that battle.
Yeah, he was talking about how bad they're playing.
The talent we have, obviously, this is not.